RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
Michael Riedel is a former RBNZ economist, now independent. He writes at Croaking Cassandra, and he's been on this show quite a few times already. So, Michael, great to have you back this morning. Hope you're well.
Yeah, good to be here, Paul.
How are you feeling after Trump's win, Michael?
When one of my kids asked that question, my genuine view was I was really glad the Democrats lost, but I also think Trump's personally unfit for office. So a small part of me wishes that he dropped dead between now and the 20th of January.
I'm
much more keen on Vance than I am on Trump. He probably should have been disqualified after the efforts in 2020.
Okay, all right. Well, we know how you're thinking. Now, will he make America great again? Well, that's number one. A lot of people think he will because they voted for him. But will he make anyone else great again, like us? I mean, how's this going to affect us on, well, every level economically, Michael? How about that to start?
Well, I mean, the big question that you posed was around the tariff policy. Tariff policy, I think, is a big vulnerability for the world economy. But, I mean, the real thing with Trump's tariff policy is that, as often with Trump, nobody quite knows what it will amount to in practice. He engages in cheap talk, rhetoric that works really powerfully with his base. There's clearly something to it. We saw that with the tariffs on China that he imposed towards the end of his first term. But if he were to go the way that he's explicitly talked about, 60% tariffs on China, 10 to 20% tariffs on everybody else in the world, there'd be a really serious risk of a global trade war. And global trade wars, aren't as bad as shooting wars, but they can be really damaging to prosperity. For us in New Zealand, the US at the moment is our second largest export partner. If we got quite heavy tariffs put on us, it would set us back. Would it be catastrophic for us? No, it wouldn't. 10 to 20% tariffs, a lot of what we export to the US is commodities. Prices of those go up and down all the time. 10 to 20% fluctuations aren't unusually large, but it would hurt. And perhaps the bigger damage is the question of what other countries would do in response. China almost certainly would respond to 60% tariffs with heavy tariffs on the US. These are two of the biggest trading economies in the entire world. And it would be difficult for a whole bunch of other economies, including the EU, to restrain themselves, I think, from putting on retaliatory tariffs.
But we're their ally, Michael. We're good friends.
I think very, very, very good friend was the line, wasn't it?
Okay, but you'd think there'd be something in that, right?
I think the Australians have slightly more hope of that than we do. There are stronger defence ties with the US, AUKUS and all those sorts of things. Trump is transactional. One of the uncertainties around his rhetoric is how much of it is intended as a final outcome and how much of it's intended as a negotiating tactic.
Well, I think it's a negotiating tactic, and he said that, hasn't he?
I suspect that's largely true. And so in New Zealand's case, we may have less to worry about directly than most countries because we don't put very many tariffs or restrictions on. In fact, one of the things that Trump suggested at one point last year is that he could look at doing bilateral deals where any country that put no restrictions on the US trade, he'd put no restrictions on their trade. From an economist's perspective, if we took off all our remaining tariffs and all our remaining restrictions, that would help New Zealanders anyway.
Oh, okay.
It also protected us from Trump tariffs. It would be good. But what it doesn't protect us from is the bigger issue, which is what happens at a global level.
Obviously, we have a relationship with China and a free trade agreement. Do you think that could be a problem for someone like Trump? Sort out who your friends are. Mate, back from him, is that awkward?
It's possible, but I get the impression, certainly from the first term, that the bigger concerns around China are still around those issues where we just don't compete, EVs, high-tech chips, and those sorts of things. So I would have thought that was probably a third-order issue. Dairy exports just haven't got that much salience in a US political debate. I'd be surprised if it became a big issue. Probably more of an issue, and it's not my specialist field, is our very low level of defence spending. And that if the US wants to beef up some of that protection of Taiwan type of stuff, then if you're spending 1.2, 1.3% of GDP on defence only, he and his officials may start looking askance at us.
Which means we'd have to spend more here.
And I think the government has already talked in terms of doing so. And I think actually both Labor and National recognise that the level of the last decade or two is pretty unsustainable. The only question is, you know, how quickly do we do it? How far do we move? You know, for us, increasing by 50% to, say, 1.8% of GDP would be a big increase. It would still leave us towards the lower end of, say, NATO countries.
So our opportunity is, for the United States, is what? I mean, it's agricultural, probably, in the end. It's not dairy. Is it meat, is it?
Well, we sell a lot of beef. So a lot of McDonald's hamburgers apparently have New Zealand beef.
Do they?
Okay. There's some timber that goes there. Services exports shouldn't be discounted. They're less visible, but, you know, the US is the biggest market there, and New Zealand firms can be working with US companies. Commodity trade dominates New Zealand exports pretty much everywhere.
Here at home, since we last chatted, which was about a month ago, what's your perception on the economic outlook since we last spoke in that short time? And how's our per capita recession tracking, do you think? Because that's the one we feel as individuals, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's been any new data on that since we last talked on the per capita GDP. We'll have one of those out in a month's time or so, just before Christmas. Almost certainly GDP per capita will have fallen further. Probably GDP in total will have fallen further in the September quarter. There are some indications that we may have reached a bottom in terms of the aggregate level of economic activity. House building seems to be levelling out. There are some signs that consumers are getting a bit more optimistic. Business confidence has picked up quite a long way, but it's really hard to see what that's based on. And I'm a little sceptical that it will prove particularly durable. I'm closer probably to the Reserve Bank's view, which is that it will take several years for us to close the so-called output gap, the excess capacity that's built up in the last year or two.
When you say consumers are more optimistic, are they more optimistic? You may or may not know the answer to this. I mean, I should. I'm a consumer. But... are they more optimistic because there's a perception things are getting better, or are they seeing it in their pocket?
Well, they are seeing some of it in their pockets. I mean, we had the tax cuts on the 1st of July, or 31st of July, and for many people who've got large mortgages, those costs either have come down or prospectively will come down when they next refix their mortgage. You know, the Reserve Bank's lowered interest rates already quite substantially. There'll either be a 50 or 75 point cut from them next week. And so that direction of actual and expected continuing further cuts is something that's got a lot of airplay in their minds. Of course, for those of us who are older who don't have mortgages, it works the other way. Our returns on our term deposits are actually dropping.
Yeah, okay, swings and roundabouts, I guess. How would you evaluate then our government's performance so far in terms of addressing economic challenges? What do you think?
Oh, a C at best. I mean, I think you could take one of the ones that they focused on most going into last year's election, which was the high levels of government spending and the fiscal deficit that resulted from that. Unfortunately, in this year's budget, the deficit increased as a result of the government's moves. You know, we've heard a lot about the cuts to government expenditure and job losses in Wellington. Those things were more than outweighed by the tax changes that were made. Now, those were manifesto promises, but many economists thought they were unwise promises to be made at the time. If you're running big deficits, you've got to close them. You've got to get back towards balance or surplus. And the government's commitment to that seems half-hearted at best. Our bigger challenge, though, is productivity. You know, how do we get this economy working better, generating higher real incomes for all of us? And there are one or two useful things that they've done in that area, you know, freeing up house building and some of the building standards things. But on the other hand, there's been a bunch of other small things that have gone in the other direction. They've effectively increased taxes on business, even though they've cut taxes on individuals. There have been a number of new regulatory impositions put in place. They set up the Ministry of Regulation. The Ministry of Regulation was supposed to be this, you know, rigorous entity that was going to look wholeheartedly at stripping away regulation. Actually, it's ended up staffed by career bureaucrats, none of them with any real economic expertise. And so a lot of economic commentators look at that and say, look, it's just sort of hand-waving, supposed to feel good. There's nothing really coming through that will dramatically change our performance. And in fairness to National, when they campaigned last year, they didn't actually campaign on anything very different. They campaigned mostly on being the opposition. In the previous government, people had become very discontented with that for all the good reasons around inflation. But once you've got inflation out of the system, which we largely have now, thanks to the Reserve Bank finally doing its job, you've still got those underlying challenges that have been with us for decades. We're drifting behind the rest of the world. New Zealanders are still exiting to Australia in really large numbers.
Interesting, that point you made that they didn't campaign on really anything, actually, yeah. Is I think what you're saying. Seems to me that the talk on economic sort of progression really comes from New Zealand First, mainly. Talking about mining and energy and jobs.
That's a fair comment. And ACT's talk is not bad either. I mean, ACT's thing was setting up the Ministry of Regulation.
If you're going to set up a Ministry of Regulation and you put, the same old bureaucrats in, then it's all talk, isn't it?
It is, and it's what I don't understand, because I think David Seymour is actually serious about this stuff, but he seems to have allowed his attention to be distracted by other things and to let the Public Service Commission and his colleagues govern the setting up of this new ministry. It could have been a real legacy for ACT. Who knows how long they'll be in government, 3 or 6 or 9 years. If you really keep serious about rigorous review and slashing back unnecessary regulation, you've got to staff it with top-notch people, really respected economists and public service leaders. We just don't have that at the moment.
They should give you a call, Michael. Hey, you'd be into that, wouldn't you?
I'm quite happy doing what I'm doing at the moment, Paul. So.
All right. Okay. Hey, nice to have you back on, Michael Riddell, independent economist. Thanks for coming on, Michael.
Good to talk.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.